This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. In this final part of our interview with Dr. Peter Vardy, Simon begins by asking if there are signs of a spiritual deficit in the West today.
Yes, I think there are tremendous signs, and I think we see people turning, for instance, to Eastern religions, to New Age religions, people put themselves down as Jedi, and I know they're being partially amusing. There's a hole in many people's lives. Jung said that whenever he analysed people between about 40 and 50, he found there was a spiritual deficit there. I think many people find there's a deficit, and Christianity has a particular problem because I think many people in Australia are bored with Christianity. They think they know what it is, and in fact, they have no idea. I was talking to a chaplain of a major independent school in Victoria, and he'd just had some pupils come in. They'd been here for about 6 months. And one of them came up to him without being impolite or disrespectful and said, "Excuse me, sir, but who's Jesus?" with the emphasis on the cheese. He had no idea. You've got many people growing up with no knowledge of the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. So the wisdom in Christianity isn't seen as a resolution to that spiritual need. It's much easier to teach about Islam to Australians than it is to teach about Christianity. Many Australians think they know what it is, and they've rejected it or moved beyond it. Actually, I don't think they understand what it's about.
What are the questions then that young people are asking these days?
I think there are questions about relationships. I think there are questions about sex. I think there are questions about meaning. And the idea of shopping as a hobby, they know that that's not really working, but nobody's challenging it. So what we get is sex education, for instance, dealt with in terms of risk minimization. So use a condom, don't get pregnant, don't get STDs. It's a utilitarian agenda. Now, the broader context of what a sexual relationship is about, how it fits into a broader human relationship, relationship breakdown, you've got a very high divorce rate here in Australia, how one copes with that, how one copes with people being dumped, the psychological effects, the effects on what it is to be human, those aren't explored with young people. And they want an ability to ask those questions, and it's not provided.
Are these a sort of a natural outworking of a view of people that is entirely materialistic?
Yes, and I think if you look at the magazines that are read by many adolescents, and your viewers may not like to read them, but you know, I would recommend looking at magazines like FHM, Nuts and Zoo, and then look at what the girls are reading. They're reading Cosmopolitan, and the girls are bringing into the same sort of image. We're sexualizing people at a younger and younger age. You've got bras for 7-year-olds, you've got makeup for 6- and 7-year-olds. It's a denial of childhood. Now, that is not to be against sex, it's not to be against relationships, but it is saying we're buying into a way at looking at what it is to be human, which I suggest is impoverished, and that's something that would be shared by all religious traditions across the world.
Is there a sense where students need to, as well, or anyone really, need to look at what are the basis of those decisions that we make about that's right and that's wrong?
Absolutely. And there will be many, of course, who say there is no basis. It's entirely a matter of culture. How many wives you allow? Well, it depends where you live. What's the sexual age of consent? It depends where you live. And it is very easy for young people to shrug their shoulders and say it's all culturally relative. Now, I think that's denying something that's underlying the International Criminal Court in The Hague, which is there are certain things that go against what it is to be human. And that's an Aristotelian insight. You also find it in Confucius. I think it's certainly present in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, in Hinduism, and the other great religions. There are ways of behaving that diminish us.
You mentioned postmodernism and some of the things you're nervous about there, but what's postmodernism brought us that's positive?
The complexity of different positions, the need to look at different viewpoints, the idea that any single reading may be limited. If you're reading the Bible and you're a lesbian feminist, you're going to have a different reading than if you're heterosexual. You may have a different reading if you're a slave. And we've seen different theologies emerge, which can often illuminate. So I think postmodernism can teach us a great deal. But my own view is the relativism associated with postmodernism is on the verge of decline. We'll be looking back in 30 years, and it'll be another movement in history. It's going to be very interesting what replaces it, and I'm not sure what it will be. But the idea that postmodernism and relativism is the final word, I think that's naive. What's coming next is very interesting. If you look at most of the major films, there is an absolute distinction between what is good and bad, right and wrong. Whether it's Harry Potter, even something like the Twilight movies, there is a distinction between good and bad. And the idea that everything is relative, young people don't accept that. But it's greys rather than black and whites. And the you've got to be more nuanced than a simplistic approach.
Peter Vardy, it's great to get your thoughts on all of that. Thanks so much for coming in.
Been good to be with you.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.